Father, I thank you and I praise you for this beautiful day and your beautiful people came out to sit at your table. I thank you, Father God, for your angelic host walking to and fro throughout this room this morning. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that's so evident. And Father God, the work that you began during praise and worship, I'm asking that you complete it before they leave this building. And Father, we thank you that you are dropping your glory every day. We just need to be receiving it. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God wants to talk about perfect peace this morning. God said, from this moment forth, you shall walk in perfect peace and harmony with heaven. Now listen to what he said. From this moment forth, you shall walk in perfect peace and harmony with heaven. I have canceled out all distraction and foreboding in your lives. This is a day of total and complete freedom in every area of your lives. This day you shall walk forth in total freedom, and you shall destroy the enemy on all sides. Now, do you really believe that? That's God speaking to you. You know, it's his voice. It's his words. He's the one that said that. I didn't. From this moment forth, you shall walk in perfect peace and harmony with heaven. I have canceled out all distraction and foreboding in your lives. This is a day of total and complete freedom in every area of your lives. This day you shall walk forth in total freedom, and you shall destroy the enemy on all sides. You shall destroy the enemy on all sides, not your friend. You shall. You have to start walking in the freedom and in the power and authority that God has given you. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, and this is the clincher, whose mind is stayed upon him who is God. If your mind is constantly on God, the things that are going on around about you will not distract you and take you off course. When this promise was given Israel, this was a promise given to Israel, all right? When this promise was given, Israel was in a dark period of her history. We are in a dark period of church history right now. This same scripture should be a comfort for each of us today when we are surrounded by gloom, depression, doubt, fear, and worry. There is not a promise in the Bible that says we will be free from troubles, wars, trials, temptation, tears, and sorrows in life. You won't find that anywhere. God promises something better. He promises peace in the midst of the storm. In the midst of the worst battles, while the storm is at its height, each one of God's children can know inward peace and tranquility. In the midst of the worst battles, while the storm is at its height, each one of God's children can know inward peace and tranquility. There can be a deep down calm and quiet confidence that all is well. Now, God spoke to me one time years ago and said, daughter, when the storm hits, run to the eye of the storm where there is perfect peace. And I was having there a big storm around about me, all right? The eye of the storm is the safety of Jesus' arms. I ran into his arms, said, God, you have to calm this storm. And he did, because I can't. I'm not God, and neither are you. Isaiah 30:15 states, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. In other words, he was telling Israel if they would have done that, they'd have been all right, but they wouldn't do that. And how many in the body of Christ are doing the very same thing today? God is calling you into that place of tranquility, that place of peace, but you won't go there because you enjoy the conflict and the storm that rages around about you. And a lot of people say, oh, woe is me. You like a storm because then you can feel sorry for yourself. All right? How many times has God asked you to fret not and enter into his peace and you would not? How many times you've been going through a trouble and God is telling you, give it to me, and you wouldn't give it to him, you held on to it. The peace that is offered, it is described as perfect peace. How is perfect peace defined? It is a condition of freedom from disturbance within the soul. How is perfect peace defined? It is a condition of freedom from disturbance within the soul. Your storm's still raging, but inside you're calm. It is perfect harmony reigning within. And this is where the body of Christ misses it. They don't have the perfect harmony reigning within, and therefore the storm keeps taking you off course. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." The church does not have the fruit of the Spirit. They just do not have the fruit of the Spirit. And that is why there's so much turmoil going on within. You have to get the fruit of the Spirit. You must cast aside all religion. You have to start walking in the Spirit. And then you have to start producing the fruit. All right? A lot of you in here could give a testimony today that once you allowed the fruit of the Spirit to operate within you, your life started changing. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom, has the idea of soundness of health. Being filled with spiritual peace is to be spiritually healthy and free from all discord in the soul. You people went to Israel and now you come back saying shalom. Do you have that peace within? You know what I'm saying? A lot of people just throw words out there. I know y'all do. But a lot of people just throw that word out there like it's nothing. They do not understand the total depth of that word, peace. In a soul that is filled with peace, there is no room for jealousy, envy, discontentment, uncontrolled temper, selfishness, pride, intolerance, harsh criticism, or fear of anxiety. Check yourself out. In a soul that is filled with peace, there is no room for jealousy, envy, discontentment, uncontrolled temper, selfishness, pride, intolerance, harsh criticism, or fear of anxiety. If you have any of these things going on within you, you are not walking in peace. Come on. The illustration, do you recall the time that the disciples were on the Sea of Galilee? A storm blew up and Jesus rebuked the wind and the sea and said, "Peace, be still." No one else could have done that but our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the other day, Mike, the boys can fight among themselves. They started carrying on. I was trying to study and I said, "Peace, be still in the name of Jesus." Little Isaiah said, "You talking to me too?" I said, "Yep, he's up. I'm going peace." And he left and they quit fighting. Amen. Come on. You know, we need to start using the word, right? I mean, they were, it was a mess, utter confusion all around. All right, God's peace is perfect peace. It means safe or possessing a sense of safety. God's peace is perfect peace. It means safe or possessing a sense of safety. All right, God's peace is perfect in quantity. The supply is sufficient and meets our need. The marginal reference that says peace, peace means a double peace, you and your word. God gives us double peace, and that double peace is mentioned in Philippians 4:7. It says that God's peace will keep our heart and minds through Christ Jesus. So if you get that peace, it's going to keep your heart and your mind. And if your heart and your mind do not have peace, then you need to start doing some soul searching and get rid of that devil that's within and get that peace. This peace guards our minds and calms our heart. You know, what you have to do, guys, you know, you're walking in the perfect peace of God and you always have a Jezebel around somewhere trying to get you out of that perfect peace. You're just going to have to say, "I walk in perfect peace. I don't care what's going on around about me. I am not going to get out of that peace." Amen. Come on. Don't get into the strife that Jezebel spirit's trying to get you into. Because they're saying Jezebel's all around in the church trying to destroy the body. So then don't listen to that Jezebel. I don't care what your situation is. Don't allow it to steal your peace. All right. So I have a car. That the thing you start the car with, you know, it doesn't work quite right. So sometimes the wind is good as up and sometimes they go down. You know, sometimes the doors will unlock and sometimes they won't unlock, you know. And somebody was in my car the other day, and every time we stopped, I had to open my door to get the window to go down, you know, or whatever. And they said, how do you deal with this? I said, just staying in peace. I can't do anything about it. You understand? You know, why get all frustrated? It doesn't take but a second to open my door and push the button, have the window go up or down. And we're going to send away and get a new thing. You have to get a new thing. But I'm not going to get out of peace over that. Like I stopped at went to the bank the other day, and I was trying to get the window down. I opened the door and it went down. And then I shut the door and it wouldn't do it. I opened the door again and finally started pushing buttons. And she said, may I help you? May I help you? And I said, just a minute, ma'am. I opened the door and said, let me get my window down. I didn't get upset. Yeah, nothing's going to steal my peace. I'm just not going to allow that. How about you? I do walk in the peace of God, and I'm going to stay there. All right? You have to determine that. I have to determine that every day. I have to determine that. So do you. Every day. Not just once a month. Because every day, Jezebel is there with something to try to steal your peace. Because it knows if he can steal your peace, he steals your joy, right? Come on. All right. This peace guards our minds and calms our heart. First thing we have is peace with God. It comes at the time of salvation. When you get saved, you should have the peace of God. Romans 5:1 states, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus. That peace was determined by Jesus. He obtained it for us and gives it through saving faith in him. That's why I just wonder, do people really get saved? Because they don't change, do they? They just stay the same. Nothing in their life changes. And they go in church for 10, 15 years and they're still the same. I think you need to go back and get dunked again. And, you know, and this time, you know, just say, you know, God, just enter into me and just remove all this junk out of me and let me become a true child of God. All right? You can never know peace. I'm sorry, you can never know the peace of God until you have come to peace with God. Say that again. You can never know the peace of God until you have come to peace with God. And that is so true, and the body of Christ has not grasped the truth of that statement yet. The reason why you can't have peace is because you don't know God. You profess to know him, but your fruit is saying something else. So I said you can never know the peace of God until you have come to peace with God. You're going to have to forgive God. Some of you walk around and blame God for everything. So if you're going to continue to blame God, then say, God, I just forgive you for whatever, you know, with your little pea brains that we have. I just forgive you whatever it is I'm, you know, conceiving that you did to me. And get peace with God, just like we do people. I mean, that isn't the way it should be, but that's the way it is. So we're going to have to take baby steps to get ourselves right with God so that we have the peace of God. All right? Philippians 4:7 states, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then Philippians 4:9 states, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Do what Paul says, do what you've seen me do. And if you do that, the God of peace shall be with you. If you start acting like Paul acted, then you're going to have the peace of God. And Paul was totally converted. The body of Christ needs to get totally converted once and for all. I don't care how long you've been in the house of God. I don't care if you can quote scriptures inside out, upside down, roundabout. That does not mean you're saved. That does not mean you have an intimate relationship with God. It just does not. When I was first born again, when you talk to anybody in the church, they couldn't really talk to you. There's always quoting scripture. Not, that bothered me. You couldn't have a conversation. And I went home one day and I said, God, what is this quoting scripture? He said, they're working in a religious spirit and they don't even know me. And this is a cover up trying to make people believe that they're saved and they're not even saved. So if you're around me, please don't quote scripture to me, but let's just have a conversation. Amen. Jesus had conversations with his people, didn't he? All right, now. Perfect, constant peace is another thing we should have. God's peace is permanent and not intermittent. God's peace is permanent and not intermittent. And the illustration, the old windshield wipers, some of you know what I'm going to talk about here. The old windshield wipers ran all the time when you turned them on, right? The newer ones are intermittent. In other words, they do not run all the time, just every few seconds. This is like my little thing to start the car. You know, it doesn't just intermittent when it feels like it. All right? But God's peace is not like that. God's peace is constant all the time. And when you see husbands and wives who are in the church, pastors, evangelists, whatever, and they're fighting all the time, they don't really have a true relationship with God. If they did, they wouldn't be fighting. They would be in perfect peace. And if something bad happens, you wouldn't be fighting about it. You would stay in peace. Somebody has to be the peacemaker, right? So you would stay in peace and everything would calm down because God would then take control. Peace works all of the time. God keeps us in perfect peace. I came to church this morning. I don't like cats in my house, all right? Came to church this morning, found out somebody sneaked another kitten into my house. We have now 8 in my yard, but they snuck a kitten in my house. And somebody else said, you better get that out before my mom sees that, because some of my kids are allergic to it. I had to keep my peace this morning when I was in that sanctuary and back there in that room, because I could have really got upset over that. They're coming against what I say they can't do. But I'm going to stay in perfect peace, because if not, then I'd lose my salvation over that. And the cat's not worth losing my salvation over. I don't hate cats. I just don't want them in my house, all right? All right, Psalm 121, verse 4 says, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And who keeps Israel? God. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. God will keep us in perfect peace. He will take care of everything. Let's talk about the two different kinds of peace. First of all, we have number 1, the peace that is offered, and number 2, the peace that can be obtained. All right, by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:7 again says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How many of you know that if you didn't have the peace of God that passes all understanding, you'd be crazy right now? With the things that go on in your life and around about you, you would be totally crazy right now. But because you really do follow God, you do have God in you, and then you have the peace of God in there, the devil can do whatever he wants to do, and it's not going to bother you any. Amen? And I'm hearing God say, it's not supposed to be an outward appearance, but it should be inside you're peaceful too. Not just putting on a face and saying, well, I'm not going to let that bother me and be full of peace. But inside, you're churning and running around like crazy. You should have that perfect peace inside also. It is through Jesus that the peace of God flows through our souls, and only a true child of God can know that peace. Come on. It is through Jesus that the peace of God flows through our souls, and only a true child of God can know that peace. In other words, a sinner who has not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior does not know that peace, and that's why they act like they do. And if you don't have that peace, when the sinners come into the house of God, you're not going to be able to help them, because you're as messed up inside as they are. So this is why God is speaking to us, to have that perfect peace. And I'm hearing him say, not only that, with everything that's going to come down the road, you're going to have to know perfect peace and walk in perfect peace, so that nothing deters your walk with him. Isaiah 57:27 declares, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. The wicked do not have Jesus, so they cannot know real peace and deep abiding contentment. And I just said that, but it's in the scripture. Now, I've seen people come into the house of God, and I said they've been in the house of God for a month, And still they're not walking with God. They're not doing the things that, you know, that you should be doing as a child of God. That means that you just said words and it didn't come from your heart. It came from your mouth. So you need to go back and just really get into a corner by yourself and repent that you didn't receive Jesus Christ in the right attitude and right manner, and invite him to come into your life, take control, and give you perfect peace. You know, I'm hearing God say he does not bestow upon you wicked gifts. He gives you gifts that you can walk with and that you can defeat the enemy with. So really, you know, you're not fooling anybody if you're not truly walking in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's showing in what's happening to your life. Come on. Because if you're really walking right with God, I didn't say you wouldn't have troubles. I didn't say that. But if you're really walking right with God, you won't get all befuddled and get, you know, act like you just lost every bit of ounce of brain that you have when something comes down the road. You would say, well, God, I don't know what this is all about, but I'm going to stay in peace, and I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to walk on, because I can't control it. I can't change it, and I'm not going to get in turmoil over it. If I ask for hands, everybody in this room could say you have days like that. Maybe every day is like that. But instead of you getting in turmoil, you stay in that perfect peace of God, even though you want to put your hands in the pie. You don't do that. You say, God, you told me to give it to you and you would take care of it. Right? And how many of you know that your spouse will want to take you out of perfect peace? Your kids will want to take you out of perfect peace. Your best friends will want to take you out of perfect peace. The devil will use anybody that he can to get you out of your perfect peace. So the only thing we can do is say, nope, I'm just going to stay in perfect peace. You'd be dim-witted if you want, but I'm going to keep my mind about myself, and I'm going to stay in perfect peace. I practice that, don't you, Grace? No, you do. You practice that. Some of you, don't you practice that? You know that if you didn't, the devil would have a heyday with you, and he would destroy your witness and your testimony. And people are watching you. They're watching how you react to the situations that the devil places on you. All right? Come on. It is Jesus that procured peace on the cross of Calvary, and that peace is offered to us by him as the source. But in all reality, it is conveyed to our hearts and minds through the Holy Spirit of God. When Jesus was getting ready to leave this earth, he said he was going to send us another comforter. And that comforter was going to be the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that will keep you in perfect peace. But if you come against the Holy Spirit, he's a gentleman and he'll walk away from you. He won't keep you in perfect peace. Galatians 5:22 tells us it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so then, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Now, a lot of you in here, sitting in here today, you know that in your home, there's people, even though you're staying in perfect peace, and there's a situation that occurs, there's people all around you in your home that want you to get out of peace. You should do this, 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 and this. They're always telling you what to do because they're not serving God. They're not in peace, and they want to take you out of your peace. What do? We don't pay no attention to what they're saying, do we? We just stay in perfect peace, saying, God, you said you had this, so it's yours. I've given it to you. It's yours. And you stay in perfect peace. Someday, if you're like me, some days that devil bombards you all day long by another member of the family trying to get you out of peace. And you just have to stand your ground. Stand your ground. I know some days I just go into my study and I just sit there and put my hands in my head and my hands and just start crying and say, God, I need stay in peace right now, because everything around me, and I'm sorry, some of you live like this too, everything around me is in utter turmoil, and that enemy is trying to pull you into that turmoil. But you have to determine in your heart, like, get away by yourself like I do, and I know Nancy does that, get away by yourself in a corner and just cry out to God, I will not allow this devil to take my peace, steal my joy. It's a work. You have to work at keeping your peace. You have to work to keep your joy. Somebody else can't do that. See, the problem with the body of Christ is the body of Christ wants everybody else to do the work for them. And it does not work. I don't care what pastor told you years ago. It does not work that way. You have to do your part. You have to do your part. As we allow him, the Holy Spirit, to fill us and control us, he produces more and more peace. And that is the truth. The more the Holy Spirit that's evident in your life, the more peace you're going to have. All right, then we get peace by his word. What a promise in Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Hallelujah. Psalm 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So if you walk in offense, then you don't have peace, right? This peace is so very important that we get it this morning. It is really important that we get this peace. And I'm hearing God say the road is going to get darker. It's not going to get brighter. Persecution is going to be heavy in the days ahead. And you're going to have to be in my perfect peace, or you will sell your soul to the enemy. That's just what God said. Come on. All right. Another thing is by his word. That's where we're at, isn't it? Okay. I said, the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Offend or cause them to stumble and fall down. The word offend can have the idea of disturb. Sometimes the devil really disturbs me, right? By other people. Really disturbs me, but I still have to keep my peace. You know, sometimes I don't think it's a good idea to be a teacher because you have to walk through it. So you can teach it to let people know that it's real. And everything I teach, I walk through first. And sometimes when God gives me a title, what he wants to teach on it, oh, geez, I'm going to have to walk through that. Amen? Because when I stand up and teach you something, I'm telling you the truth. You can do it because God is in you and God is in control. All right, another way to get peace is by our obedience. Leviticus 26:3 says, if ye walk in my statutes, and see that big if there? If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. And ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. All right, as I was reading this, God was showing me our land is our home. And he's saying all these wonderful things are going to happen to us if we have peace. And if we walk in that perfect peace, and God is saying here, I will give peace in the land. He will give peace in your home. And ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land. In other words, he's going to take the enemy out of your home. Neither shall the sword go through your home, land. Home. God's telling me I'm cleaning up your home, so it's my land, it's my home, and it's no matter what turmoil is going on in my home, if I keep staying in perfect peace, and I'm going to get all these promises right here. Are you understanding that? Come on. That's good stuff. But to start out with what? If ye walk in my statutes. His statutes right now is peace, and keep my commandments and do them, stay in peace, then I will give you. Then I'm going to bless you, but not until then. I really don't like them ifs in the Bible, you know. You know, then there's always a then. Notice the if in the first verse. God guarantees us that if we will do our part, he will do his part. So what do we have to do? We have to do our part. We have to keep that perfect peace going on your job site, in the aglo. You know, we have to do our part. And then if we do our part, then God's going to fulfill his part. All right, the next thing is we get peace by plenty of prayer and praise. In Philippians 4, 6 through 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, God's told me, he said, I'm going to see all my children back in the house of God again, praise him, because they were all there and they all backslid. And yesterday I had the opportunity to minister, just talk to one of my children. And I was totally surprised at what they said. But they're ready to come back to God. You know. And we talked about, I had taken them to a different church and people were in sin there. And when this person saw it, it just turned her away from God altogether, because she already had that in the world. She didn't need to go to church to get more of it. But she said she's been watching and she sees that God is real, that not everybody is a sinner that sits in the house of God. And she's now ready to come back to the Father. Amen. You see this? But she's just been watching. And she said, one thing I can say, Mom, is you never gave in to the devil. You always stayed calm and peaceful in the midst of all the storms. So you see, one soul is going to come back to God because I didn't give in to the mess around me. And I know that there's many of you sitting here this morning, you have messes in your homes too. And the enemy has them there just to try to get you into turmoil and take away your peace. But if you'll just maintain your peace, true peace, you watch and see what God's going to do to your household. Amen. And I mean, he keeps saying in the workplace. So some of you are in a workplace where there's a mess. And they're watching you, supposedly Christian. And if you're keeping your peace in the midst of everything that's going on around about you, they're going to start thinking, yeah, that's not a bad deal that's going on there with them. And they're going to want the same thing you have, which is the peace of God that passes all understanding, even when the storm is raging. Are you listening here? And God is saying, what kind of witness are you unto Zion? Are you a good witness that will win souls, or are you a bad witness that will turn the souls away? Peace is not some experience. It's not some doctrine, a code of belief, or an it. Peace is in the Lord himself. Peace is just not something we say we have. It's something we truly have deep down in our soul. All right? John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. What makes you think you're going to have perfect, you know, no trouble in your home? The devil is, until everybody in your home gets it together, the devil is always going to have an open door to work through. And what he's trying to do with that open door is to pull you off out of your peace. So you're going to have to not let allow that open door somebody else open bother you. You're going to have to be immersed in Christ, and therefore then you'll have his perfect peace, and you'll stay in peace until God straightens everybody else up. And you won't pray, God, remove them, or don't pray, God, kill them. You'll say, God, thank you for bringing them perfect peace as you have me. Now, this is God speaking. I am stretching out my arms of comfort to you this night, and I'm calling you into the secret place in me where no darkness can touch you and no evil will befall you. See what he says? I am stretching out my arms of comfort to you this day, and I am calling you into the secret place in me where no darkness can touch you and no evil will befall you. You have to get into that secret place, guys. God's been dealing with us for a couple years now to get into that secret place. God said, I am calling you into my heavenly court, where perfect peace surely surpasses all understanding. It is a place where you can continually rest in me and allow me to fight each and every battle for you. Read that again. I am calling you into my heavenly court, where perfect peace surely surpasses all understanding. It is a place where you can continually rest in me and allow me to fight each and every battle for you. Take control of your mind, will, and emotions, and come on up into the place of the Most High, where perfect peace rules and reigns. God said, I am waiting, children. I am waiting with outstretched arms. Won't you come to me this night, letting your guards down and just trusting me and abiding in that perfect peace? That peace that surpasses all understanding now and forever. Let's read that again. I am waiting, children. I am waiting with outstretched arms. See, God's waiting on you. And that is a fact. I know that one time when I thought I had sinned, I wouldn't talk to God for 3 days. And I said, one day I said, oh, God. And he started laughing. He said, daughter, I've been waiting 3 whole days for you to come and talk to me because I have something I want to tell you. God is waiting on you with outstretched arms of love to come to him. Then he said, I was supposed to give this last Sunday night, but God intervened, so we're giving this morning. Won't you come to me this night, letting your guards down, and just trusting me and abiding in that peace that surpasses all understanding, now and forever? It's just not a one-day thing. It's not a one-minute thing. It's a forever peace that God gives you. God said, my invitation is extended to all that are troubled by the perplexities in this world. The darkness is surely dark, but when you abide in my perfect peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, the peace that I give you will suffice. How do you suppose that Paul and Silas was able to sit in that prison cell praising the Lord? They had perfect peace. They were in right relationship with the Father. They weren't walking double-minded. They were walking with God 100%. And that's how they could have that perfect peace. And John 14:27 says, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. The world's peace is not peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. There's many of you sitting in here today. Some of you are pastors, some of you are evangelists, some of you are prophets, and you don't have the peace of God in you, and you should quit ministering until you get that relationship with God where you have perfect peace. That's a fact. Quit trying to preach double-minded. Like God said one time when people were preaching up here behind this pulpit, he said, if you aren't living what you're teaching, then don't teach it. Not behind this pulpit. So if you're a pastor or evangelist, prophet, whatever out there, if you're not living it, don't be teaching it until you can live it. Because you have to be able to live it for it to be anointed for people to receive it. Are you understanding this today? There are too many, I'm hearing God say, there's too many double-minded ministers out there that are destroying the flock. God wants that stopped. In this new era that we have walked in, the prophets are going to prophesy even stronger than they ever had. Pastors are going to be strongly anointed, and you're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles following the preaching of your word. But if you're not truly following God in every aspect of his word, then you're not going to see anything. It is time that we take our post with God, live righteously and holy, and then deliver the message. And if you're living righteously and holy, then you're going to have perfect peace deep within. if you're running a church, you're always going to have, there's always troubles in a church. I don't care who you are. There's always trouble in the church because you have a bunch of dumb sheep that don't know what to do unless the shepherd's smacking them around a little bit. All right. But I'm being serious here though. You're going to have to be right in order to hear God's voice to lead, guide, and direct the sheep. Now, God is calling new faces to the scene right now. He's given out new mantles. And if you're wanting that mantle, then you're going to have to be living right with God. You're going to have perfect peace. And what God wants to do to you this morning is he wants to get to anoint you with perfect peace. So if there's anybody in here that knows you don't walk in perfect peace, if you come up here, God's going to drop his anointing upon you, and you're going to find out that you're going to have peace that passes all understanding, and Jezebel's not ever going to be able to take you off course ever again. The altar's open.